speaking about things they've seen on the TV, speaking about things insensibly. They're watching rubbish show so that you don't have to. Then they'll watch another. They'll watch with mothers. Okay.
Right.
Hello, listeners, and welcome
Hello
to...
Hello there!
You're a bit early there.
Oh, sorry. Carry on.
Hello there, listeners. Welcome to Watch With Mothers podcast number 45. Is it 45?
It is, or it's 46. Hello.
One of them two, anyway. And guess who I'm here with? You'll never guess.
Hello.
Hello there. How are you doing?
I'm all right, thank you very much. I've just been having a lovely time.
What? On your own, doing what?
No. Just me and the missus, we popped outside down to the river to look at the ducks.
Well, is it a lovely day up there?
It's a lovely day up here. Yeah, the sun's shining. I don't know what degrees it is, either in Fahrenheit or Celsius. No idea. But whatever it is, it's lovely. I wouldn't say it's sweltering. You know what I mean? But it's certainly up there.
It's 20 degrees here, and I'm stuck in the shade. Sun's beaming down outside.
Let me just have a quick chat. I have got a temperature. Ah, right, yes, it's 21 degrees here.
Whoa, you're winning in the north.
How do you like that?
I'm quite impressed. Aside from your visit to the Ducks and Ducklings, was that Springwatch inspired, by the way?
It wasn't Springwatch. I don't watch Springwatch, but no, it wasn't. It's purely the fact I live quite close to the river, and we've got to know the ducks down there. You know, we're quite familiar with them. There's a white duck that doesn't look really like any of the other ducks. There were two other white ducks, but one mysteriously disappeared. So there's one white duck and a sort of off-white duck. And today, a large browny, goldeny duck turned up. Never seen that before.
So why don't you watch Springwatch? It's the best thing on telly.
It's not the best thing on telly. The best thing on telly is probably a repeat of the Sweeney on Bravo.
You can't say something is probably the best thing on telly.
Yeah, you can. Them lager people say that their lager's probably the best.
Yeah, but that's marketing, isn't it?
But is it?
Well, is it? That's a good question. But aside from the duck parade, is there anything else you've been up to?
No, I've been doing a lot of work, really. That's it. No, nothing. What about yourself? Have you been up to anything?
Same here, really. I've been doing a lot of work. As you know, I try not to leave the house unless I really have to.
That's because you're a frightened little mouse.
Yeah, and as a result of this, I tend to form strange relationships with the animals beyond my window. For example, there's a tree just outside my window.
Hang on, let me write this down. A tree. That's not really an animal, is it? But carry on.
No, but it houses blue tits, great tits.
Spin back. Blue tits, what?
Great tits. Why are you writing it down?
Great, I'm just writing it down. Hang on, great tits. Right, yeah, carry on.
Couple of starlings. So I like to watch them.
Starlings times two. Hang on. Times two. Yeah, go on.
I like to watch them getting up to their japes. And then outside the kitchen window, a couple of cats out there. I had a staring cats. Competition with one of them the other day.
Right, did you lose?
He lost, actually.
Oh.
But I was mimicking his cry, which I think put him off. Does that count?
No. Anything you can do to distract them, as long as you don't take your eyes away from from your opponent, then fair dues. You remember when you were at school, you'd have staring competitions, but you'd go there, and all that. Just don't, you know, you lose when your eyes move away, you blink, don't they?
I shied away from staring competitions. Do you mean kind of in advance of a scrap?
No, not that. That's just staring somebody out, isn't it? It's a different thing altogether. No, when you just, you know, should we have a staring competition until the pair of you got water streaming down your face, your eyes are cracked up like a desert. You know, you one of you's got to give eventually, otherwise your eyes will fall out. That kind of thing.
Yeah, I can't bear that kind of prolonged eye contact. I always
avoid that. Competitiveness.
What, sorry?
That sort of competitiveness.
Well, I can handle competitiveness, but certainly not staring people into their horrible eyes for a long time. Right.
So, the animals so far, you've got a tree, you've got blue tits, great tits, two starlings and two cats. Is that it?
There's a fat pigeon.
Fat pigeon, hang on, hold up, fat pigeon, yep, go on.
Actually, there's the pigeon's wife as well. They sometimes nest and have eggs and little babies.
Do pigeons get married?
Well, they seem to mate for life, from what I can see.
Yeah, but are you sure that's just not a different pigeon? I thought pigeons were a bit like Tom Jones. No, actually not Tom Jones. He's been married for about 50 years.
Well, I'll ask them next time I see him. Do you want me to carry on with my list?
Yeah, I mean, if you've got any more.
There's a fox that sits in the neighbour's garden quite often.
Oh, right. Hello, we're up in the ante now.
Yeah, do you want me to push it up a little further?
Go on then. What next? A fucking elephant?
Yeah, there's an elephant.
Right, there's an elephant. Yeah, right. What? Yeah, where you live in? London Zoo?
Right, there's not an elephant.
Right, so I'll cross that out then, shall I?
Well, you pressured me into that.
Yeah, right. Well, what's better than a fox? What can you trump a fox with?
Well, I don't know. What do you think? What's better than a fox?
What's better than a fox? What, in wildlife terms?
Just in any terms, what's better than a fox?
Hyena?
Watching TV in our pants. Get out the mini chambers. It's watch with mothers. So, on to the first news story of the day. Not really news, but more a summary of last week.
Is it the crazy fact that Dark Side of the Moon sinks in with The Wizard of Oz?
That's apocryphal, isn't it?
No. Actually, I think it might be, because to be fair, I think if you played any album and put The Wizard of Oz on it, it'd all kind of work out.
Especially if you'd taken drugs, I imagine.
Yeah, exactly. You've smoked a load of doobies and you stick on, oh, I don't know, the White Album, something like that. I imagine you go, wow, man, this is amazing.
I'd imagine the White Album is longer than The Wizard of Oz.
Well, how long's The Wizard of Oz?
Well, 90 minutes, I imagine.
Hour and a half. They're always hour and a half in them days, weren't they, films?
Yeah, they go on too long these days.
They do. You're right, actually. I went to see Iron Man 2 a few weeks back now. Went on forever. And, well, yeah, by about the one hour, 30-minute mark, my arse was hurting. I wanted to go. I've had enough.
Well, I find the same with a lot of modern TV. An hour is far too much for them to fill, so they just fill it with filler.
They do, yeah, I agree with you there.
Anyway, we're talking about Eurovision, talking of things that go on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You didn't watch it then?
No, of course I didn't.
I did.
Right, and did you enjoy it?
I liked bits of it, actually, to be fair. Bits of it were good.
It's a shit fest.
There was a stage invasion during the Spaniards' effort.
I did see that, yeah. Some fella in a hat, wasn't it?
Fellow in a hat, and I couldn't actually tell it was going on until they announced it towards the end, and Spain got to go again.
They got to go again because of a stage invasion.
Yeah, it didn't really help their cause. I think it actually undermined their appeal for votes, actually.
Right, so I mean, that bloke is responsible for making the Eurovision Song Contest go on even longer than it should have done.
Well, yeah, so...
And it's already, what, 6 hours or something ridiculous?
You lose count, you really lose count. You fall asleep on and off.
Oh, right. Well, I did used to watch it, but I only used to watch it for Wogan.
Yeah, he's gone now, Graham Norton in his place. He does a decent job, leave him alone.
Yeah, he's not Wogan, though, is he?
He's not Wogan, and he never will be. So I'll tell you who I liked.
Yep, go on.
I liked Greece.
Greece, yep, right, go on.
They had a song called Opa.
Opa! What's that mean?
I don't know, but it was sung by some middle-aged tanned men in white, ill-fitting outfits, and they just kept shouting, Opa!
Opa! Yeah, but I mean, you've done no research here, have you?
Well, I could try and work it out.
Well, couldn't you have done that before you came to the table, as it were?
Well, think about it. Opa, it's a tribute to his dad, isn't it?
Well, yeah, in German, I think Opa means granddad.
No, I'm thinking O-H, comma, space, pa.
Well, Opa, the way your moustache shines in the moonlight. Like that, you mean?
Spot on, yes.
Right, okay, well, fair enough. We'll carry on then. What's your next one?
I like Belarus.
Belarus, which, as everybody knows, is in Europe.
Yes, and the song was dreadful, but they had a strange thing at the end where the women of the, I think it was a quartet, the two women suddenly turned into moths.
Into moths?
Two wings sprouted from either shoulder blade.
All right.
It's good to have a gimmick, you see, at Eurovision.
What, do you think turning into an annoying nighttime insect is the way to go? Did they win?
They did not win. The winner was Germany.
Ah, now I've heard Germany's entry.
Yeah, some great lyrics in there. She sang in English, which confused me.
Yeah, because usually Germans, they speak and sing in German, don't they?
Well, I believe that's the language of Germany, the German language.
German is the language of Germany, yes.
But there she was. She was singing lines such as, "I even painted my nails for you. I did it the other day. You're crazy."
You're crazy. Well, do you know, actually, to be fair, you sent me the link to this video, and I put it on, I saw her, she sort of started going, "I did this and that for you, I did this for you." I thought, this is drivel, and I turned it off.
Did you notice she kept lapsing into a Cockney accent?
No, I probably didn't get that far, to be fair.
She turned into, you know, Kate Nash? Yeah, she turned into Kate Nash, it was weird.
Her accent just drives nails into my fucking skull, that woman.
Yeah, well, she's been off the radar for a while now, hasn't she, Nash?
Good.
I also liked Azerbaijan. They opened the show.
Do you know where Azerbaijan is?
Europe.
Yep.
Just
about.
I liked their effort called Drip Drop. I also liked one who I can't remember who it was by, but it was called Apricot Stones, and it was sung by a woman with a, how best to put this? Well, she was chesty.
She had big boobies?
Well, yeah, I wouldn't be so crude. And obviously I like the UK's entry.
Which was, of course, That Sounds Good to Me, what was his name?
Josh Dubrovnik or something.
That was rubbish. I mean, it's called That Sounds Good to Me. No, it doesn't. It was a subpar Pete Waterman 1980s pile of crap. Did he come last?
You know full well, don't you, that he came
last? I don't know. I actually do not. I did not know who came last, and I do not know who came first. I know Germany came first now, because you told me, but did he come last?
Well, it didn't sound good to Europe. He came bottom of the heap.
Oh, this is happening more and more frequently to UK entries. I don't think it's purely because our songs are tawdry crap and have been since the days of Katrina and the Waves.
Well,
I think this is a worldwide, well, European-wide conspiracy against Great Britain.
Well, what it is to an extent, they've actually tried to relieve the situation, but the Eastern Bloc countries tend to vote for each other. Then you've got your Cyprus and Malta. Would that make sense for them to vote for each other?
No, Greece always votes for Cyprus.
That's
Cyprus
what I mean.
Always votes for Greece. They all do. All the Russian bloc countries, especially the ones that are close to Russia and still quite scared of it, they always vote for Russia. Israel always votes for somebody. I can't remember who it is. Israel, that famous European country in Asia. And the only friends we've got are the Irish, who usually toss a couple of votes our way, but that's about it. Not even the frogs vote for us.
Well, yeah, you would have thought that the French would try and help us out, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, I mean, we are close neighbours, and we have retained quite close ties over the century. The odd war here and there. But, you know, I thought we had no better friend in the world than France.
But you'll forgive
me. What are you doing, France?
You'll forgive my historical ignorance, but the last war we were involved in with them, didn't we help them out a bit?
I think you'll find we did, yeah. I think you'll find that France, by 1940, was in a bit of a pickle. So we went over there, we tried to help them out, all went a bit tits up, because we underestimated Hitler, and we had to scarp a quick smart, but we did came back in 1944, we got rid of the Germans, and the French were liberated. So you'd think, you know, seeing as America's not in, so they can't throw votes their way, they'd give us a few, wouldn't you?
Well, you would have thought so, but even that small sacrifice of a handful of points for a shit song, they're not prepared to make it, the French.
No, they're not, no. They'd rather give their tawdry bloody votes to Germany. Don't know why that's good, you know, why they do that, quite frankly. You'd expect them never to give them to Germany, but oh no. They give them to Germany, they give them to Belgium, they give them to, who do they give them to? Name a European country.
That's near France.
Yeah.
Spain's.
Yeah, they give them to Spain, don't they?
Yeah, and where are you going on a holiday this year?
I'm going to France, mate.
Traitor.
I'm not a traitor. Do you know what I think we should do?
What do you think who should do?
The United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland.
What should we do?
I think that we should break away from the Eurovision Song Contest. We put a lot of money into that. Anybody who's suspicious of the Eurovision Contest and cannot understand why it is we're in the finals every single year, despite coming last, is because we pay for it, don't we? You know this.
Well, I know that we contribute a huge amount. Yeah. That's why we're automatically in there, isn't it?
Exactly. We contribute, I think, the most amount of money towards the upkeep of the Eurovision Song Contest. So that's why we're always saying guaranteed. But what we do, we should take our money, we should take our entrance, and we should start up the Commonwealth Song Contest. Oh, do you see?
Well, remind me who's still in the Commonwealth.
Right, in the Commonwealth, you've got Canada, yeah? So you've got your Bryan Adams.
You've got, what's her name, who did, isn't it ironic, just a bit? She's Canadian, isn't she?
Isn't it ironic? Not particularly. Yeah, Alanis Morissette, you got her.
Alan Morissette, actually, you've got him. And then you've got, who else?
You got your Canada, right, so that's one. Bang.
Bang.
Well, two, counting Britain. So that's Canada, Britain. Yeah, you got Australia. They're in the Commonwealth.
Yes, well, yeah, they are.
Crowded House. You're Crowded House.
They're Kiwis.
Well, New Zealand are in the Commonwealth.
Right, well, who for Australia then?
Men at Work.
Still going, are they?
Yeah, well, I imagine, yeah.
Toto.
You know, bands don't break up, do they?
Toto, they can be in there.
Toto, they're not from Australia, are they?
I don't know.
No, they're Toto from England.
They're from Africa, aren't they?
Well, they are from Africa. We've got loads in Africa. And then you've got all of them Ladysmith, Black Man Bars, that lot that helped Paul Simon out in the 80s.
Ladysmith, but I remember a tune of theirs. It went, "Hey Zimbala." Remember that?
That's beautiful. Yeah, they're all that. I used to love all that stuff. Well, when will, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, the tiger, all that stuff.
Yeah, all the other fellas that come in and go, "Hum, money, no way. Well, when will, hum, buddy, buddy." And then obviously Paul Simon would come in and ruin it.
Who else is in the Commonwealth before we leave this?
Zimbabwe, best to, not bother with that. Falkland Islands, they're in there. Any famous Falkland Islands songs you can think of?
When I think of the Falklands, all I can think of is poor old Grant Mitchell.
Yeah, he had a bad time over there, didn't he?
Yeah. So Commonwealth Games, let's start this campaign here and now.
Yeah, the Commonwealth Song Contest, I think we'd have a fair crack at the whip there. We'd have some bloody good singers in there, such as your Bryan Adams. And, Europe can go fuck itself.
Hello there. You're listening to the smooth and groovy sounds of Watch With Mars. Here to entertain you in your ears as you go to sleep or perhaps masturbate into a cup. Watch With Mars.
On to story number two. Sad news, listeners. You're probably well aware. I think everyone who reads Watch With Mothers is an enormous fan of the long-running serial comedy Last of the Summer Wine. Obviously, the tragic news is that someone upstairs at the BBC has seen fit to cancel the show.
Some bastard.
Yeah, some rotten, rotten, rotten bastard.
Longest running sitcom on earth. But of course, that heritage doesn't matter, does it?
Well,
not when
no.
You're some bloody bean counter at the BBC.
Well, you make this point, and I'm going to play devil's advocate here. It is the longest.
I'd rather you didn't.
Shall I just avoid that and we'll just
the
BBC?
No, you carry on. You carry on dark as hell.
Yes, I am devil's advocate. And someone on the site made the point that it's like an old axe. If you have to replace the head...
Oh, that was Thumper.
Yeah, it was Thumper Plowman. If you have to replace the head of an axe, it's still the same axe. Then if you have to replace the handle, thus leaving you with a new head and a new handle, is it the same axe?
Yes, it is.
It is the same axe, is it?
It is, yes.
Okay, the other point the DA, that's me, devil's advocate, would make is...
So not duck's arse, then?
No, not the back of my haircut, no.
I'm not on about that. I'm talking about the shitty back end of a duck.
There's another acronym of DA, isn't there?
District Attorney. That's US crime dramas.
So in my position as DA...
I don't know where you went all southern, down south like that.
Anyway, in my position as duck's arse...
And District Attorney...
We've lost half the original cast. I mean, Compo was
halfway.
Compo was the. Oh, my doorbell's going.
Who cares?
Yeah, fuck them.
Right. Now then, have we? On the dead side, we've got Compo. Gone.
Yeah.
We got Seymour. Gone.
Yeah.
We got...
Mr. Barraclough. What
was his name? Foggy. Gone. Who else we got? Laura Batty. Gone.
Thora Heard.
Ivy. Gone.
Is Nora Batty gone? Is Nora Batty dead?
Nora Batty's dead, mate.
Hang on, what about the woman who runs the cafe?
No, that's Ivy, actually, yeah. She's still alive. So on the alive side, you've got Ivy, the cafe owner, still alive. Pearl, still alive. Howard, still alive. Marina, still alive. Barry, still alive. Linda, still alive. See what I mean? They're still alive. And let's not forget Norman Clegg, one of the originals. You know, on that side of the equation, there's more alive than there's dead. So this axe handle thing, the axe has still got its original handle.
No, the axe hasn't still got its original handle.
It has. It's still got the original handle because Clegg's still there. And all those other ones I've just mentioned.
Yeah, but you've got to admit that the defining image of Last of the Summer Wine is Nora Batty being chased in her wrinkled stockings by Compo, and they're both,
long
gone.
Is that the defining image? Is that the defining image of Last of the Summer Wine? To me, it's Compo careening down a hill in a tin bath.
Well, it's just going to be an empty tin bath, isn't it? Because Compo's
dead.
Well,
it's not, no, because now you have Russ Abbott to fill that tin bath.
Russ Abbott is no Bill Giles. Bill Giles? What was his name?
No, it was Bill... Bill. It was Bill.
Yeah, so... I can't believe you don't remember that.
It was Bill Owen. There you go.
Yeah, well Googled.
I didn't Google. Can you hear me tapping away? I've got a memory. I know people have forgotten what these things are in the day of the internet. Well, you know, where you have things like memory and knowledge and stuff, yeah? Because they immediately think, oh, well done, looked up on Wikipedia, did you? No, I bloody didn't.
Well, I know that you didn't tap type it because you're probably on your iPad looking it up. But
iPad.
But Bill Owen, yeah, he's no longer there, and Russ Abbott is no Bill Owen, is he?
Well, no, obviously Russ Abbott's no Bill Owen. But the point being is, what you know, what they're going to stick there in its place? Yeah. What's the point? What you know, you've cut off one of the legs of the unholy triumvirate of Sunday evening. Not very good television, which is Antiques Roadshow, Last of the Summer Wine, and Songs of Praise. These shows predate us. We were glints in the milkman's eye when these shows were about. Yeah, and yeah. As far as I was concerned, they were going to be there on my deathbed.
And the fact they're not reminds you of your own mortality, is that the problem?
In a way, yes. And also, I have to say that these bloody kids out here today, yeah, don't know they're born.
In relation to what?
In relation to the fact, yeah, you remember Sundays. You remember how bloody awful they were. You had school in the morning, which was never a decent prospect.
Wasn't it? On a Sunday?
On a Sunday.
Who had school in the morning on a Sunday?
On a Sunday evening.
You had school... Oh, right, I see what you're saying.
On Monday morning.
Yes, the following day we had school.
Yeah, do you see? So obviously, already you were miserable, yeah?
Yeah.
Because you had school in the morning on a Monday. And then, what did you have to look forward to on a Sunday evening? You had Last of the Summer Wine, Songs of Praise, and Antiques Bloody Roadshow. That made you feel even worse, didn't it?
Well, you had Clive James on TV sometimes.
Yeah, whatever. You didn't. You had Last of the Summer Wine, you had Songs of Praise... And you had the other one, Antiques Roadshow, yeah?
I'm sure there were some other good things on the side.
No, they were there to make your life a living hell. And you know this. No, not...
That was a Sunday night.
Spitting Image wasn't on at the same time as Last of the Summer, why?
No, it was on in the evening.
What do you want about, man?
What, were you not allowed to stay up beyond 8 o'clock?
I am trying to make a point here. I was stayed up way beyond that. I was up at 12. I was up at 12, right? Midnight.
Hard,
you see?
Man. Yeah, anyway, make your point.
I'm trying to make a point here, yeah? Why are kids today allowed to get away with not having to suffer the misery of having to go to school on a Monday morning? Not only that, but also not having to watch Last of the Summer Wine, Songs of Praise, and Antiques Bloody Roadshow. Why can't they? Why are they allowed to get away with not doing that?
Well, for the same reason you didn't have to go to the workhouse instead of school.
Fuck you!
to the Watch with Others Media Bowl. It's all right.
So, two news stories down. We are about due a little rest, a little bit of respite. Oh, you bastard. What are you doing over there?
I'm supplying background music while you talk. Carry on.
Well, we're meant to be chatting, aren't we, in a sort of off-the-record kind of way.
Carry on.
Should we do the My Skinflint Family thing?
Moon River, wider than the Nile, I'm crossing you for a while today, but moonbeams. No, that, anyway, yeah, what are we doing?
Sorry, I was lost in your lilting tones
that
there.
That was beautiful, wasn't it?
Shall we do My Skinflint Family?
Oh, certainly can. Lovely. Ah, there you are, my boy.
Hello, Father.
Are you enjoying your birthday?
I am indeed, Father.
Would you like to know what I've got you for your birthday?
Yes, please, Father.
Nothing. Do you hear?
Thank you, Father.
My Skinflint Family.
Okay, so I've got a couple here.
Walker, Walker.
This one is from Rear Face.
Rear
Face.
These internet people really have got some of the strangest names.
I know, Napoleon. Who calls themselves that?
All right.
Rear Face says, for Christmas last year, my mum got me a cling film dispenser and a roll of cling film.
That's a bit off.
It's not great, is it?
Yeah,
it's
easy, mum. I mean, how much is a cling... What, a cling film dispenser is what I assume, a plastic bar with a bit like an elongated toilet roll dispenser, I assume.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah, and obviously cling film, what we're talking here, quid? Quid in the shops?
A quid, and that includes its own cardboard dispenser.
Right, so we're looking at a pound for the cling film. Should we be generous here and say, what, £4.99 for the dispenser?
Well, it would have to be a pretty smart one, wouldn't it? Off the Weekend magazine lifestyle.
Yeah, we're not talking Wilkinson's here, are we? We're not talking Mad Harry's.
No, we're talking, well, that's quite high level, $4.99.
Yeah, all right, well, what, $3.99?
Yeah, let's go $3.99.
All right, $3.99 plus £1, hang on, that's 99. Right, that's a grand total of £4.99. On her beloved daughter for Christmas. Do you think she had a large family?
Well, she must have if she was being that economical. But
yeah, I mean, I'm thinking, what, 15 kids?
Wow, it must be that huge, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, either this lady has 15 children or she is a very skinflint woman who belongs to a skinflint family, and because that, to me, sounds like a classic case of a skinflint family.
So you think this one qualifies?
Yeah, I'm putting a tick next to that. £4.99 for Christmas.
Well, this one's a bit strange. I've got another one here.
Go on then. Is there anything to do with the jungle?
There's nothing to do with the jungle. Why?
Oh, okay, well, I'll just cross that out. Well, carry on.
Okay, this is from Helen Cairns, who occasionally writes for the site.
She has a normal name.
Yeah, and she's got previous. She's written for Watch with Mothers.
Oh, she? Hello, Helen.
Hello, Helen.
Hello, Mel.
This one is so bizarre that it can only be true, I think.
What then?
I once got a bag of nuts from my grandma that were sugared almonds with the sugar sucked off. God rest her.
The old, you know, they can be unpleasant creatures.
Well, yeah, they're not exactly mindful of how unpleasant they're being, but they can do very odd things.
They can, yeah. Sucking the sugar off sugared almonds. I mean, so she got a box of almonds that... What, Granny didn't like the almonds. I imagine they played havoc with her teeth, didn't they?
Probably, so she just sucked the sugar off and then thought, well, what to do with these almonds? Yeah,
I'm not going to handle these. These could kill me, these, to be fair. Almonds, I mean, they're up there with toffee and fish bones. You don't give them to the elderly.
Toffee and fish bones? No, yeah. I see your point, yeah.
Well, look at the Queen Mum.
Well, I can't look at her. She's interned in the ground.
May she rest in peace. To me, if Elton John's listening, she was the windy candle. Thank you very much.
Not Diana, Princess of Hearts?
No, Diana wasn't a windy candle. She was, you know, if she was any kind of a candle, she was a candle in a slight breeze, to be fair. She wasn't a windy candle like the Queen, no.
Or indeed, a full candle.
A full candle. Ah, hey, that's nice.
Shall we do your segment of the MIDI amble?
Right, well, we'll just pronounce Judgment on Helen first, I think. Which is, I think that is definitely a case of the Skinflint family. However, there are mitigating circumstances in the fact that the person who gave them was old and possibly losing her marbles.
Yeah, no offence to your grandmother, Helen, but I think...
We all get like that.
Yeah, we all get that way. I just think there's evidence there that she's not really firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, all right, Helen, leave it.
You don't get upset about it.
All right. Well, should we move on to the proverbs?
Yep.
Right, okay then. Well, your first one today is lightning never strikes twice in the same place.
Well, I read a newspaper article from a chap who'd been hit by lightning three times.
Was he standing in the same place?
It hit him on the same place on his body.
Well, yeah, I suppose, yeah. If you get struck by lightning, for instance, on your arse...
Yes.
That is in the same place, isn't it?
What, is the same place as what?
Well, as your arse.
So your arse is the same place as your arse?
Yeah, your arse is definitely the same place as your arse. I mean, your arse doesn't shift about, does it? You don't wake up one morning and find your arse attached to your chest.
Ooh, not your own, no.
Well, no, you're all right. You might wake up with somebody else's arse on your chest. Mind you, I mean, that'd be a bit heavy, wouldn't it?
It'd be a funny old business. But, yeah, I see your point.
Well, yeah, it's boring, isn't it? Na, 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 na. You're like that. Oh, Jimmy. Oh, what a lovely night. What the bloody hell's it? Got an arse on my chest.
So lightning does strike the same place twice
a day. It does indeed, yes. So, I think that's wrong, isn't it?
Incorrect.
Right, number two. Marry in haste, repent at leisure.
Well, I see their point.
But can you marry in a hurry and be happy?
Yeah, I should imagine you can, even if it's only a fleeting happiness.
Yeah, I mean, there's two ways of looking at this. I think what the proverb is saying here is that if you marry somebody after knowing for about 5 minutes, you may live to regret it. In fact, you will live to regret it. However, there is another way of looking at this, in that if the ceremony's a bit rapid-fire, i.e., do you, right, you're married, well done, well, you might not repent that. You might just want a quick service because you want to get moving on to the buffet. Especially if Grandad's there and he wants to get into the whiskey.
Well, you know what Grandad's like.
Exactly, yeah, they like the whiskey. So, you know, you're thinking, oh, I've got to protect this buffet. I'm a bit busy doing that. I can't really spare the time to get married very fast. Well, you know, slowly. So bugger it, I'm getting married quick so I can get that old bastard away from all the booze.
Well, there's two other flaws to this. Firstly, it was probably conjured up by someone in the time before marriage was such a disposable thing, you
know? It is indeed, yes. The somber union between man and wife has been sullied over the years by all these idiots getting married in Sesame Street costumes and in swimming pools and what have you.
Well, I blame Elizabeth Taylor's and whoever it was.
Richard Burton.
Yeah, Tim Burton and Helena Bonham. There's another problem, another issue with this.
Go on.
Well, if you think about it, happiness is a fleeting, transitory emotion, isn't it?
And necessarily.
Well, it is. You're content in life, even if your situation's fine, you're financially stable. You might stub your toe one morning and you're definitely not happy in that instant.
Actually, yeah, you're right there. Speaking of happiness, I was watching The Right Stuff this morning and a young girl rung in who was about 11 years old. And she said, money can't buy you happiness. And I laughed.
Well, there is some truth in it.
Yeah, I laughed. Well, you know, here's a demonstration. Yeah, you've got no money. You're about to be evicted from your home and you've got bailiffs knocking on the door. Yeah? What would alleviate that situation and make you happier?
Death to the bailiffs?
No, money, mate. You know, this girl was naive. She'll learn.
Well, hang on, you've just introduced another proverb into the mix. That's three proverbs we're dealing
with. Yeah, all right, well, I've disproved that one anyway, and we think we've disproved the other one, so we'll move on to the last one, all right, before we have another argument. It's very fractious, as this podcast today.
Oh, it makes for stimulating listening, that does.
Well, I won't go that far, but anyway. Right, let third one here, yeah? Ne'er cast a clout till maybe out.
Start again.
Ne'er cast a clout till maybe out.
The mayor casts...
No, not the mayor. Not the, you know, the mayor of London or something like ne'er. N-E apostrophe E-R.
Never cast a clout.
Yeah, a clout till may be out.
Well, clout, is that old language for something, or does it mean whack?
Well, I mean, I always thought a clout was like a clip round the ear, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
What it's saying here is don't hit anybody until May. So if you're going to start belting people about, wait until June.
Well, you can hit people whenever you want, can't you?
Well, yeah, of course you can, yeah. It's a free country. I mean, if I want to wallop somebody in November, fair do, I'm going to do that. However, well, the thing is, I mean, the years are, you know, the months are circular in nature, aren't they?
The months are circular?
Yeah, if you take all the months together, so you got, what have you got in the months? You've got January, February, March, April, May, July, August, September, October, November, December, 11 months, yeah? So you take all those months, and, you know, what happens at the end of December?
At the end of December, we have Christmas.
You're Christmas, but then you've got January coming around again, haven't you?
So you missed that Boxing Day.
Those 11 months make a perfect circle. Do you see?
Not really.
Right, well, you should do. So what I'm saying is, fair enough, you're not allowed to hit anybody until the end of May, but the point being is, when does that stop?
Oh, now I see what you're saying.
You see, I mean, there's no cut-off point here.
Yeah, but... Yeah, it's only said May. It hasn't said a month on which that stops.
Yeah, exactly. If you can start hitting people on June the 1st, when can you stop hitting people?
Whenever you want.
Oh, watch with mothers. Watch with mothers. No. Yes. Watch with mothers. Watch with mothers. Yes, I will.
Now, listeners, it's time to turn to the final...
Sorry? Is that too loud for background music?
Probably.
Sorry, I'll do it. Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
I'm going to base this next section of the show on a piece Steve Charnock did for us, a regular thing that he does. Can you be quiet, please?
What?
Be quiet while I'm talking, thank you.
All right, suit yourself.
So Steve Charnock, he often writes us a piece called Commission Possible. You see what it's
called? Charnock!
And what he does is he talks about the shows that are coming up on TV because he can be bothered to do the research, unlike me and Napoleon.
Well, in my defence, I do most of the research on the podcast, so I think that's, I'm better than you.
Yeah, okay. So let's talk about
the
shows.
I got bigger cojones, you see?
Cojones?
I got the big cojones, you see?
So let's talk about shows that are coming up on the television.
Fair dues.
Okay, so David Jason is set to play a retired docker in a new 2-hour family drama called Come Rain, Come Shine. Exciting?
And, is Rodney... what's Rodney doing?
I don't think Nicholas Lyndhurst has any involvement.
Oh, so what? Rodney's away, I imagine, at some sort of course. He has got a GCE, isn't he? So it'll be a computer course. What is Trigger there, Denzel?
I don't think it's got anything to do with Early Fools and Horses.
Right, So, Mike from the Nag's End, he's dead, unfortunately. So, I assume, Mickey Pierce, he'll be driving him up to this job. Wait, is it Liverpool?
What, the crack-addled skeleton?
Yeah, it'd be quite good, that. I mean, it'd be a bit like the classic episode to Hull and Back, where they went to Hull and then they came back again.
Let's move on. It's got nothing to do with Only Fools and Horses.
I can't wait for that. It's been years since I made any Only Fools and Horses.
Next up, Mock the Week is set to return for a new series. Moving on.
Carry on.
A sex advice show for teenagers from the mates.
I've got some advice for teenagers as far as sex is concerned.
What's that?
Let's get it on. Not me, then, obviously. I make that clear. Get it on. Enjoy yourselves. Knock yourselves out. You don't hear that much from adults, do you?
Well, what about things like protecting themselves from
STDs? Yeah, the AIDS, all that. Yeah, well, wear a rubber johnny. Bob's your uncle. You're fine.
Right, okay, yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't know about you. When I was a teenager, I loved doing that. It was great.
Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah, it was all right. Yeah, so, you know, never mind all this naysaying from your governments and adults and all that. Yeah, no, you want to go bouncing around fields, common rooms, do it at school. You know, fuck it. Enjoy yourself.
Moving on, Ridley Scott is working...
Ridley, what, the chewing gum people?
No, you know when people say they don't really... They didn't get anything in return for something. They say diddly squat.
Oh, right, yeah, so not the chewing gum people.
Well, he's related to that, Ridley Squat.
Right, okay, diddly Wrigley's.
So Diddly Squat is said to be involved with Sony. Is it Sony or Sony?
So I say Sony. Some people say Sony.
With Sony in developing a four-hour epic based on Robert Harris's best-selling novel Pompeii.
Pompeii!
Caecilius.
Pompeii.
It got all covered in volcanic stuff.
From the mountain, do you remember what the volcano was called?
Vesuvio.
Vesuvius, not Vesuvio. That sounds like a character from Shakespeare.
Well, you know, we did Latin at school, didn't we?
We did do Latin at school. Well, I mean, we say we did Latin. We had a teacher who barked some Latin at us, and if we got our translation wrong, he barked at us some more and threw us out. I don't know if you can really call that learning something.
Well, I did learn something, actually. I think I got a B in Latin, GCSE.
You're a swat. Because you're a swat, you're an egghead.
Well, some of us thrive in academic sense on fear.
Well, yeah, exactly. You thrive because you're an egghead. You're a teacher's pet.
I was an egghead, was I?
Yeah, you were an egghead, mate. While I was out there doing, you know, stuff such as smoking and whatever, yeah, you were in there. Swatting up, being a good boy, all that sort of stuff. Rubbish.
Yeah, look where it got me, eh?
Yeah, look where it got you, yeah, talking to me.
Now, moving on. Channel 4, moving on from embarrassing illnesses. Have you seen that they've been doing embarrassing children's illnesses recently?
Embarrassing children's illnesses? I mean, aren't they just mini versions of adult illnesses?
Well, I'm not watching it because I rather suspect that anyone who watches that is a pervert.
Is a paedophile.
Well, why would you want to look at youngsters being intimately explored for signs of illness?
Well, unless you're a doctor, a paediatrician, which to the people of Rotherham is a children's doctor, no, there's no real reason whatsoever. I mean, I don't like shows like this anyway. I'm not interested, to be fair, about hideous ailments.
Well, next up is embarrassing animals.
Embarrassing animals? But how can an animal be embarrassing?
Well, I suppose it could fart in front of your nan.
That's not really embarrassing. That's just an animal doing some sort of animal thing. To be embarrassed for what your dog or your cat or something like that done, well, that just shows you're weird, quite frankly. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. You'll have to excuse him. He doesn't usually do this. What, your dog doesn't usually fart? Well, yeah, he does. He farts whenever he wants to. He eats dog food. That's why they smell so bad.
What about if a dog starts humping the leg of a girl that you're introducing to your... Well, you're being introduced to her mother.
Well, it's natural animal instinct. You just kick him off. Oi, get off there. Smudge, go on, get away.
Yeah, well, anyway, embarrassing animals is coming to Channel 4, so...
Right, well, you know, no point making that, quite frankly, Channel 4, if you're listening, because there's no such thing as an embarrassing animal. You idiots.
Here's another one. Life on Mars co-stars.
Keely Hawes, Dean Andrews. Carry on.
No, John Sim and Philip Glenister.
Oh, the big guns.
From the first one, yeah.
Oh, yeah, fair dues. Let me just write that down.
They're set to star in a new four-part Sky One murder drama called Mad Dogs, alongside Mark Warren and Max Beasley. Max Beasley, eh?
Max Beasley, what, from off of Survivors?
Well, he's doing well for himself, isn't he, Beasley?
So, in other words, this is essentially Life on Mars, but set in the modern day, with the people from Life on Mars, plus Max Beasley being a psycho, plus another bloke. Who's Mark Warren? Who's he?
Never heard of him, but Max Beasley is the star of the job site adverts, I think.
All right. Well, Mark Warren, his name really does ring a bell. I know him. Is he the racist fella?
I'm doing a bit of research.
Is he the one in Extras who's dressed up as a Nazi? And I think he might also be in Peep Show. Is that him, Mark Warren?
I don't know if he's in Peep Show, but I recognise him, having seen him on Google Images. He's
He's a racist in not in Extras, in Peep Show, isn't he? It's the one I'm thinking of.
He was in Life on Mars.
Was he?
Tony Crane.
No, Ashes to Ashes, you mean?
Well, it says Life on Mars here.
Yeah. I'm sure Mark Warren was the same guy that was in Peep Show.
He's in Hustle as Danny Blue.
Oh, him?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Mark Warren. Yeah, he was in a brilliant thing, him. It had Alexander Armstrong in it, and that girl who used to be in Coupling, and some other buggers.
He's got a bit of an evil face.
Mutual Friends. He was in Mutual Friends. He was a star of that. That was really good. If you've never seen Mutual Friends, well, you missed out. It was an excellent piece of TV drama. Stroke comedy.
You've got three good character actors there, and you've got Max Beasley as well. So.
Yeah, Max Beasley. Well, he's all right in Survivors. He's quite dangerous and dark in there. So that could be quite interesting, actually. I think that's a thumbs up. Your first thumbs up of this shower of shit.
Well, we can end on a high note because we've run out of new series. Anything you'd like
more,
to...
Then.
While we've got the ear of the audience, anything you'd like to pitch?
I'd be perfectly happy to see monkeys throwing their own feces at a Perspex wall.
Well, sadly, Noel Edmonds' pitch for that quiz show has failed, I think.
Well, yeah, well, that's a shame. I think, really, what we need to do is do some kind of TV equivalent of the supergroup. Do you remember the Travelling Wilburys?
Yes, that was made up of Roy Orbison.
Roy Orbison, right, here we go. Let's see if you can get them all. Roy Orbison, one, bang.
George Harrison.
George Harrison, two, bang.
Was Ringo in there?
No, afraid not, mate.
Come on. Can I have another go?
Yeah, of course you can. Yeah, I mean, you know, see if you can get them.
Tom Petty,
three, bang.
Oh Christ, I'm drying up here.
You're too short. You're two Wilburys short of a travelling band of Wilburys.
What, so presumably a drummer? So I've got to get a drummer.
No, you don't need to get a drummer, mate.
There's no drummer?
Well, there is a drummer, but he's not an important Wilbury. He's an under Wilbury.
Can you give me a clue?
Dylan. Yeah, Bob Dylan. Right, yeah, bang, bang, four, bang. Right, you've got your one left, your one down.
Clue, please.
You're still a Wilbury short. What, a clue? No, not that. That's not a clue, I'm thinking. Curly hair. Perm. Looks like a perm.
Art
Sunglasses.
Garfunkel.
And Art Garfunkel.
Leo Sayer.
Art Garfunkel in the Travelling Wilburys.
Bob Dylan.
Not Leo Sayer.
Bob Dylan.
Sunglasses.
We've already had Dylan.
Jeff Lynne from Off of ELO.
No, he's not a proper Wilbury.
What do you mean he's not a proper Wilbury? He wrote all the bloody songs. It was him and George Harrison came up with the concept of the Travelling Wilburys in the first place.
I don't even care about the Wilburys.
What do you mean? What was I on about? Why are we talking about the Travelling Wilburys?
I don't know. Should we go to the end?
Yeah.
I got this hideous diarrhea.
And that concludes the 45th podcast from WatchWithMothers.net. Hope you enjoyed the show. I felt it went rather well.
Is that was that too loud?
What, your background music?
Yeah.
I thought it went quite well with my my summary of the show. It did go rather well, didn't it?
Oh, I couldn't really hear you. I was too busy doing the Three from the Muppet show.
How did you feel the show went?
I thought it went quite well, actually. I certainly liked the bit that bit we did.
Oh, that bit. That was a good bit.
That bit, well, that was great, that bit.
I think your proverb maybe was too obscure, the last one.
What, ne'er cast a clout till may be out?
Well, I've never heard my nan say that, and she says all the proverbs.
Well, yeah, but does she? Does she say the one about rain, that one?
She says...
Oh, never go out when it's raining.
She says fog before seven, fine by 11.
Right, do you know what my grandma says?
What's she say?
All black cows are bulls.
What does that mean?
Well, the all black cows are bulls. That's nonsense. No, they're not. She's got no knowledge whatsoever of the way bovines work. There are plenty of black cows that are females. The other one that she's got about cows is that when a cow lies down,
it's going
rain.
To rain. Yeah.
Where did they get this from?
We've discussed this one before, haven't we?
Oh, have we? Well, anyway, again, I'll iterate. That's nonsense, Grandma. You're talking out your arse.
For some reason, I've got it embedded in my brain that that is the truth.
It's not the truth. For instance, the other day, we drove over to Whitby. Yeah, we went through the Yorkshire Down, the North Yorkshire Moors. Yeah, there's fucking hundreds of cows up there. Yeah, half of which I'd say, at the very least, were lying down. At no stage during that day did it rain.
Maybe they were being cautious.
They're being cautious. Who's your favourite Muppet?
It used to be Animal when I was a child, but I've matured somewhat
now. That's obvious.
It's Kermit, obviously.
Kermit? Well, the bigger... That fella.
Kermit the Green Frog is my favourite because he's a nice chap and I like his nephew. I like the interplay there. Yeah, I like
Robin? Robin?
Yeah, little Robin. Yeah, he's all right.
Yeah, my favourite... it's still the same, actually, as from when I was a kid, but it's only because I like the look of him. Dr. Teeth.
Oh, the sax player.
He was the head of the band. The sax player was Zoot.
Oh, which one was Dr. Teeth, then?
Dr. Teeth was the head of the band. The band was called Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem.
Was he on the piano?
Rolf was on the piano. What the bloody hell did Zoot... What did Dr. Teeth play?
You asking me?
No, well, I'm asking her, but she says saxophone. You're both wrong. That's it. That was Zoot. He played the saxophone.
Right, well, obviously I like Gonzo as well, but that's obvious, isn't it?
Yeah, Gonzo's obvious. The best ones, to lay this little, bastard to bed, the best ones were Dr. Teeth, yeah? Mm. That's number one. He's number one. Undisputed champion of the Muppets. Fozzie, the comedian. Remember him? Waka Waka.
Yeah, he was annoying, yeah.
Yeah? There was Yoda, and there was him off of Fraggle Rock.
Which one? A doozer?
No, that dog.
Oh, the dog. Mr. Mackay's dog.
Yeah, do you remember the dog from off of Fraggle Rock?
I always thought Mr. Mackay must have retired to become that lighthouse keeper.
Well, do you remember that Mr. Mackay suddenly turned into him off of that Scotch film?
What Scotch film?
The Scotch film. There's only one famous film made in Scotland.
What, Gregory's Girl?
There you go, that one. The fella in that, yeah?
Yeah.
One day Mr. Mackay turned into him like Doctor Who, but with lighthouse keepers.
Well, he must have died very sadly, mustn't he?
Well, I think that's a terrible way to end the 45th podcast.
It's a very sour note to end on. We could have a quick chat about Springwatch before we go.
Okay. Well, what do you want to say?
You've not.
Is Bill Oddie still there?
No, he lost the plot a bit, didn't he? So he had to
go. Then I'm not interested. I'm not interested.
You're not interested at all in lovely.
I'm not interested in that.
In fledgling blue tits, no.
No, I've got enough wildlife outside my door, thank you very much indeed. Sorry, window.
Right, what have you got out of your window?
Just get right, okay, pad. Yeah. Have you got your pad?
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, prepare to be overwhelmed by nature's bounty that's outside my... You got your pad, have you?
Yep.
Number one, a fox, bang.
Yeah, we've got a fox as well.
Yeah, number two, a cat with a mangled ear, bang.
Cat, straight ear, bad.
Yeah, number three, two ducks, count them, ducks, two.
Two little ducks, 22.
Two little ducks, 22. What else we got? And pigeons.
Magpies.
Right,
And a magpie.
And a magpie, right. That's it for this week. Listeners, thank you for joining us on this voyage of discovery and insight.
You're an arsehole.
Bye.
Bye.
It's with mothers, it's with mothers,